He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, would you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heels.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Tuesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where, as expected, UConn handled San Diego State last night to win its fifth national championship in the span of 24 years. That's two more than anybody else during that period of time, which even more predictably led to this question being asked everywhere today. You kind of blue blood now. Are they the most dominant program in college basketball this century? Like most things, the answers to those questions are complicated. But here's where I fall on it. UConn is unquestionably a blue blood now. They are the newest one. But they're also the weirdest blue blood too. It's like old money versus new money. The Huskies are the tech billionaire like Elon Musk, super rich but kind of weird, kind of erratic and unpredictable, while blue bloods like Duke and Carolina are like oil and gas billionaires, the Koch brothers, Jerry Jones. So again, UConn is a blue blood, but they aren't as sustainable or as reliable as the traditional ones. Think about this. I think this will drive it home. Duke, Carolina, UCLA, Kentucky, and Kansas all have exceeded 15 Final Fours apiece. That is the baseline. They've all exceeded that number. UConn has been to six. So, while, again, the sheer volume in a short period of time, a quarter of a century, can't be underscored, they belong, they are a blue blood. It's old money versus new money. And as for the point of their level of dominance, it's hard to call them the most dominant program in college basketball this century when in that span of 24 years, they've missed the tournament eight times. That's what makes them weird and erratic. For every success Elon Musk has had in terms of space and cars and Tesla, he's had weird instances like what he's doing with Twitter, which is incredibly odd and not going well. That's UConn basketball. Yes, you have two more national championships than everyone else, but eight missed tournaments? Here's how weird that is. Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas, during the 24-year span, all have missed seven tournaments combined. Combined! You add all four of those schools together, and it's one fewer, one less, than UConn's missed over 24 years. So, they've been, it's almost like Nuke LaLoosh's stat line for the Durham Bulls and Bull Durham, right? You have 17 strikeouts, but you walk 12. Yeah, you have the five national championships, but you've also missed the tournament eight times and fired a coach and had NCAA stuff that you were dealing with. Again, to emphasize, I can't emphasize this enough, they definitely deserve inclusion, but they're weird. It's complicated. They're the weirdest. They're the newest blue blood that we're talking about. It's not just another thing that they deserve credit for. It's not just the product of one coach. Some teams, you see that. It's just the product of one coach, and we never really see the success equal once that coach is away. Three national championships in a 12-year span under three different coaches, that is an impressive feat. It tells you that the place itself is a place that you can win basketball games. It's the program. It's not one man. It's like LSU football. It's not just Ed Orgeron that can win there. Les Miles won there. And a national championship can be won by Nick Saban, who won it before Les Miles did. So that's what it reminds me of. You know what it's the difference between? It's like in pro sports, the San Antonio Spurs and the New England Patriots, they are both terrific organizations among the best in the NFL and NBA. But you wouldn't call them linchpin organizations. You wouldn't call them your traditional powers. You wouldn't call them, you wouldn't put them in the same box you would the Green Bay Packers or the San Francisco 49ers. You wouldn't put them in the same category you put the Boston Celtics or the LA Lakers. That's the difference between the two. But this was Dan Hurley last night when asked by Matt Norlander about the blue blood question.
Yeah, it should have been pre this. I mean, with the four and, yeah, I mean, UConn is as, the blood is as blue as it could be because we bleed blue because it's UConn.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are blue.
I didn't get much out of that.
They are blue.
They're blue, they're UConn, and yeah, that's what we got.
And now they've won five national championships.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
The Sporting News Hall of Fame sports writer and also movie expert and all-around good guy, Mike DeCourcy, joins us fresh off the Final Four and National Championship over the weekend. Over the last few minutes, I watched the trailer to the new Barbie movie that's coming out this summer with Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. I can't believe I have this opinion, but I can't wait to watch the Barbie movie this summer. That's going to be directed by Greta Gerwig. Mike DeCourcy, maybe we could get the movies in a bit. Let's start with basketball, though. We hear dominance with UConn, and we get that. Only Villanova and North Carolina in 2009 had ever won all of their games by double digits the way that UConn has. But it feels strange, given the era we're in college basketball, to compare, say, what Tyler Hansbrough and that Carolina team was in 09 to teams that are as transfer-laden, led last night by Tristan Newton, an East Carolina transfer, double-double in a national championship game to help UConn win. So I'm just interested, as somebody who has the bona fides that you do in covering this tournament, how do you place this Husky team in history?
Well, I mean, I think we have to remember, first of all, that as great as that Carolina team was, it had its moments as well. I mean, they also did not win their conference tournament. They lost at Boston College in the regular season, and no, Boston College wasn't any better then than they are now. So they had their moments. I don't think this team would rank with that group, certainly, because that group had enormous talent between Tyler and Wayne Ellington and Ty Lawson, etc. They had tremendous talent. This team had excellent talent. Donovan Klingon will be a pro. I think Sanogo will be a pro. I have no doubt that Jordan Hawkins is going to be a pro. So I think that they had significant talent, but I do think that the nature of the evolution of a team now is different. That team. Yeah, I think it's a misnomer that teams change more now. I'm a believer that every team changed every year for the history of college basketball, even if you brought all five starters back, even if you brought your entire rotation back, because players change from year to year. They get better, they get worse, they get jealous, they get selfish, they get more generous because they realize that winning means, yeah, that's what, if I win, then I get where I want to go, which is the league. All these kinds of different components happen. And so I think that the idea that there are new players now and there weren't then is nonsense. Every team has always changed. But what's different now is players come in with much more ingrained habits as transfers. Even in 2005, let's say, just, and I'm not picking any particular player, just picking a particular year, 2005, a transfer would come in and then spend a year in your program getting indoctrinated to the way you do things. So the adjustment was less for a transfer when he actually got on the floor in men's basketball than it was for a high school player, or sometimes even a player who was in the program and when was seeing his role evolve. So it's so much different now. Tristan Newton comes in, and that's what Tom Moore, the terrific assistant coach for UConn, was talking about last night when we talked to him about Tristan, was that he came in and he had to keep adjusting to them and they had to keep adjusting to him. And it took a while before it all really worked. And, I mean, honestly, there was a point in February where they started giving the ball more to Andre Jackson to run the show than they did to Tristan, even that late. And then when they got in the tournament, Tristan all of a sudden was ready for that. And it was more natural for him than it was for Jackson. And so they went that direction, and it turned out splendidly.
Mike DeCourcy is with us here from the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at TSNMike, where he posted a picture last night of Jim Nantz signing off for the last time, and saw some great pictures of Bill Murray on the floor taking a picture of his son, who's a UConn assistant, cutting down the nets. Being that you were there courtside, and there's obviously a lot of emotion, whether it be from Nantz or the players on the court, it being a national title game, what was most special to you experiencing it firsthand that maybe doesn't come across, that we don't see in pictures on television?
Well, I got a chance to congratulate Jim for the end of his Final Four run and tell him what a wonderful job he had done with college basketball. I can't say that he did a great job with the Final Four because I never heard him. I was covering the Final Four every time he was calling it. So I heard bits and snippets over the years, but I never heard him do a full game at the Final Four. But I've heard him do hundreds of college basketball games, regionals where he was at one and I was at the other, first round, et cetera, regular season games. And he's obviously a phenomenal football announcer. And I told him that, you know, he made a very nice comment to me. And I said that he would be, you know, he would be following college basketball through me. And I said, well, I'll be following the NFL through you. How about getting me a Steelers Super Bowl? He is just the nicest person that you could ask. There are some people that you think they have so much talent, good looks, every money, everything, and you think, well, that person just has to be, you know, not nice. And every now and then you get a Jim Nantz or a Billy Donovan, and they have all those things, and they're even nicer than you, who has none of those things.
I think I told you this story when we were hanging out at Stumble Stillskins in Greensboro, hanging out at the tournament, the regional here. But did I tell you about Jim Nantz's dad? Did I tell you that story?
I believe you did. But,
for those who forget, like,
worth recounting,
his dad, I mean, Jim was on the show and he told us that. Jimmy Nantz, his dad, was a starter on both sides of the ball at Guilford College. And the first game he ever played, he was 16 years old, lining up both sides of the ball. And a loss to Maryland, where that was the first game as a head coach that Paul Bear Bryant ever coached.
That is really a cool story.
Yeah, small world that we live in. Okay, getting to movies for a second. We have the Air movie that's coming out tomorrow, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, and I'm excited to watch it. I mean, shoot, it's made for us. It's a basketball movie. It's starring Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to watch that. In the spirit of that, WD, he watches movies that, you know, he probably should have seen but has not seen. Tonight he's going to watch Moneyball for the first time with baseball season having started. So we're just thinking about rewatchable movies, not necessarily in the sports context. If I had to throw at you one or two movies that you would venture to say you've seen more than any other, what comes to mind first, Mike DeCourcy?
Well, I would say one of them is a movie called North by Northwest that I'm sure he hasn't seen. It's a Hitchcock classic.
Yeah, like 50s.
And if he watched it, he would love it. It's one of Hitchcock's best. I would certainly put it in his top five. It's a fabulous movie with Cary Grant and Eva Marie Saint, and it is magnificent and worth every second of your time.
Okay.
I've seen that a ton. I've seen Shock times because you turn channels. And the amazing thing about Shawshank is that if you are doing that, if you're flipping through channels, I don't know if you flip as much as we used to, but they don't run it on TNT as much as they used to either. But, during the 2000s, like, you flip through the channels and it'd be on TNT and you'd stop. You can't not stop because it's, you know, it's just a magnet.
As long as it's not the sister scene, we stop. As long as it's not the sister scene, you might want to just, you know, step out for 10 minutes. And then when the sister scene's over, I'm in for the next 2 hours. Probably.
Well, it's a great movie. But if he's going back and looking at old sports movies or sports, has he seen White Man Can't Jump yet?
No.
I have not seen that.
He hasn't seen He Got Game either, but I don't know if you're a fan of the Denzel Washington movie.
It's okay. He Got Game was not one of Spike's best. I'm a huge Spike Lee fan. I think he's phenomenal. I thought it was a good movie. I think there were some things that were a little overdone in that movie. But I think White Man Can't Jump is phenomenal. And Ron Shelton is the only Hollywood director I've ever had breakfast with twice. So I have a special place in my heart for him, and I have a mutual friend who we got together a couple times, and he was a Sporting News reader from back in the day. So White Man Can't Jump, the first 40 minutes of it are so funny that you will have trouble catching your breath. I hope I'm not overselling it, but I know I'm not. And then, no movie can sustain that for 2 hours. But then the story takes over, and it's a really cool story, and it's a great film.
Excellent suggestion on your part. Mike DeCourcy, basketball season's over, man. Get some rest, and thank you so much for spending the time with us, as always.
Yeah, I was happy to, Josh. I did get a little chuckle when you said fresh off the Final Four. I'm like, he does know I've been on the road for the last 40 days, right?
Exactly. Yeah, see, few do that anymore. Some will just show up to the Final Four without going to regionals. But no, you were here in Greensboro, and they're all along the way. So really do, again, appreciate it. And I hope we can see you again sometime soon.
I hope so, Josh. Thank you.
Hey, Triad, this is Rich Eisen. Catch me this evening at 6 for The Rich Eisen Show. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
With UConn winning it all last night, I had this thought. 10 years ago, 2013, if a casual fan was asked to list off the best college basketball rivalries today, what might they say? Duke Carolina probably would be the first one to come off the list. But after that, odds are, depending especially on where they're from, they might tell you UConn and Syracuse is one of those rivalries, with all those battles between Jim Boeheim and Jim Calhoun through the years. Because of conference expansion, UConn-Syracuse isn't as big of a rivalry as it was 10 years ago. But it used to be super heated. And given the success UConn's now enjoyed after they were able to escape the American close to 5 years ago and get back together with their old friends in the Big East, I bet you Syracuse wishes it could do the same. I think they regret joining the ACC if you were to ask coaches, fans, even their administration honestly about it. And if they could, they'd love to go independent in football and join their old friends, just like UConn did, and go back to the Big East.
Good business sense.
If you gave them the choice, I think they would do that. Just like the Huskies didn't ever belong in the American, playing against the likes of my East Carolina Pirates and going down to Tulsa and facing SMU in Dallas, the Orange never really felt at home in the ACC. Remember, UConn missed the tournament 4 of the 6 years they were in the American. Conversely, Syracuse has missed the tournament 5 of the 10 years they've been in the ACC.
That's what's right.
5 of the 10 years, half the time. And Jim Boeheim, the legendary coach, his career ends being forced out in Greensboro.
There's no value in playing in Greensboro.
But the same escape hatch does not exist for Syracuse. UConn, they've turned down more TV money in the American to go back to the Big East because that's where they felt at home. Syracuse, they're tied into the ACC's grant of rights. They're tied into that television deal. The Orange, they care a little bit more about football. They have a little bit more pedigree in that sport, going back to Donovan McNabb and Marvin Harrison, than UConn has, which, when you look at their great players, who do they got? Dan Orlovsky? Now, they won a Big East championship and an Orange Bowl, I think, in 2009 or 2010, but with all due respect, Syracuse has a little bit more pedigree, a little bit more pride in football that I don't think they'd be able or quite as willing to bail the way that UConn did, if we're being realistic about it. However, if we went back to when Syracuse decided to join the ACC, given what we know now, I don't think Syracuse signs up for it again. I don't think they do. Especially if they saw what UConn did last night and the run that they went on and what the Big East has turned into right now, basketball-wise, with Villanova winning titles and UConn now doing the same. I think they'd want to be a part of that. I think basketball's most important there. In fact, I know it. If there was a way out, I think Syracuse would take it. And here's the part that's kind of crazy, too. I bet you if the ACC could figure out a way for Syracuse to go, they'd probably do the same thing. They'd probably drive them to the airport, just not the one in Greensboro, as we
business.
All know.
Good business.
Yeah. No direct flights out of Greensboro, as we've come to learn. Just good business. But I think the ACC would like to contract and widen the pie and figure out an excuse to get back to the negotiating table with ESPN. Syracuse has added next to nothing since they joined the league. So if there was a way out, I think Syracuse would want to go. And I think the ACC would have no problem with Syracuse leaving. But because of the grant of rights and how things work in college athletics in 2023 and all the moving plates and the moving parts, the thing that ultimately everybody wants will not happen. And Syracuse will remain in the ACC.
That's what's right.
On Twitter, at WSJS Radio. If you want in on today's show, 336-777-1600 is the phone number. We're going to do a special Masters-tinged weekly positivity with a ticket giveaway in about 10 minutes or so, so make sure you're around for that. WD, it's going to be a big television night in the Graham household. We've got three things to watch tonight, meaning you've got four things to watch tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Carolina Hurricanes hockey. The Canes, they are at home. Again. They're at home against the Ottawa Senators. They should win that game. They're trying to lock up the Metro. If they win tonight and New Jersey loses to Pittsburgh, it's pretty much a lock that Carolina is going to win the Metro the rest of the way, and that's a pretty big deal. The Charlotte Hornets, they host the Toronto Raptors tonight. Yay! They only have three more games left, WD.
Oh, my.
This is the last week of the NBA season? It almost feels like, has everything always been this scrunched? Like, I know, like, college basketball ends and then the Masters is the quick turnaround. I get that. But I don't remember, oh, yeah, well, by the way, the NBA season's going to end this weekend, too, and baseball's going to start right here as well. It's just a lot's happening at once right now.
It is, and I think it's always been that way because I've always remembered, you know, the tournament ends. It's like, oh, hey, NBA playoffs. And also, NBA playoffs are pretty much side-by-side with the NHL playoffs, so there's that.
And then we've got the Baltimore Orioles are playing the Texas Rangers tonight.
Well, who cares about that?
O's won last night.
They
weirdest.
Did.
They're the same way that UConn's the weirdest blue blood. The Baltimore Orioles might be the weirdest team in baseball in that they gave up nine runs at least in all three of the games in Boston. All three games, they allowed 9 runs apiece at least in those games. Where?
Boston.
Yeah, Boston. And then yesterday, they have like a relief. They're doing a bullpen game. And the starter gets knocked out in the first inning, gets drilled with a pitch, has to come out, and the Orioles proceed to have a one-hit shutout, winning 2-0, because baseball. Which, with that in mind, you're going to be watching baseball tonight.
Yes, I am.
I believe to be perhaps the best sports movie of the 21st century, Moneyball, which is now a dozen years old.
Yeah. I'm watching it tonight instead of tomorrow night because we're kind of bunching everything up a bit.
Scrunching it all up.
Because we won't be here on Friday.
We're not going to be live on Friday on Good Friday.
It's live action, Tracy.
We're not. That clip is 1 year old
today. I know. It made me happy and sad at the same time.
Hubert Davis.
Yeah.
Just all charged up to Tracy.
The whole clip is like, because I'm so used to now just that one little section.
It's live action.
But
Tracy.
The whole thing is just the band's going nuts in the background. Hubert's going nuts. Tracy's just loving it.
We need to get Tracy on the show.
We do.
Just to know how many people come up to her and say, it's live action, Tracy. Like, if I was friends with Tracy Wolfson, every time I see her, I'd be like, it's live action, Tracy. Live action, Tracy.
That's how we do it.
It's the sports version of the Bill O'Reilly, bleep it, we're going to do it live.
It really is.
We're going to do it live. Bleep it, we're going to do it live. No, well, now it's, well, it's this.
Freaking thing sucks.
Yeah, it's the sports version of it is this clip here.
It's live action, Tracy.
Happy 1 year anniversary, we did that. Just think about if I would have told you at that time, all the players in that game, four of the five starters would be back, and then they'd miss the NCAA tournament the next year. What you might say to me, like if that was my take a year ago, you'd be like, Josh Graham is the biggest hater, doesn't know what he's talking about. He's
Josh is
clicks.
Out of his mind.
He's just looking for clicks.
I probably would. Yeah, but here
that's
we
exactly
are.
What happened? So you're going to watch that tonight. No clue what you're going to watch next week. We do have Hall of Fame sports writer Mike DeCourcy, who was at the Final Four last night, going to be joining us next hour, and will tell us about his experience, some of the things that were going on behind the scenes that you probably wouldn't be able to appreciate unless you were in the building. And he's a huge movie guy, so maybe we can figure out what your movie might be for next week. When DeCourcy joins us, Hayes Permar, our guest on today's show. Make sure you're around at 5:35 because with the Eagles and Vince Gill in Greensboro tonight, we're going to play a special Vince Gill / Eagles theme skips or plays with our guy Hayes, who also was at the Dreamville Festival from over the weekend. Perhaps we could get a recap of that as well. If you miss any of the show, see, we don't expect you to be in your car or in your home listening to all 3 hours of what we do. That'd be unrealistic. I think the average listener maybe listens to 18 minutes or 8 minutes of radio on their drive home. Well, that's what the YouTube channel is for. You can find that at WSJS Radio. Or you can subscribe to our podcast. Search The Drive with Josh Graham on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. Several different ways you can consume the show. And however you're choosing to do so, we appreciate that. It's you're subscribing to those things and supporting the different things that we do that allow us to do more stuff and make the show even more consumable to you. So make sure to help the show that way. College basketball. Oh boy. The season's over. That's a bummer because we love hoops so much. So to raise morale across the triad, we will play Weekly Positivity. Next.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham.
The dumbest women's basketball controversy seemed to have been resolved. Both of them. If you didn't know there were two, let's get you up to speed. Caitlin Clark, the best player in women's basketball. Talk smack, as a lot of great players do. John Cena face, the entire thing. LSU's Angel Reese did the same thing in response on Sunday after LSU beat down Iowa, and yet people got mad. Yesterday became a conversation, a national conversation about sportsmanship. Oh, think about poor Caitlin Clark, who just lost on the biggest stage. And then Caitlin Clark talked to ESPN today and said, no, I don't care. This is sports, which comes to show you anybody who's actually played sports gets it. The people that don't are the ones posturing, you know, virtue signaling on social media, pretending to be mad because it's, again, social media and Twitter. People are not very thick-skinned on those apps, generally. So that controversy, done. Then there's the controversy I didn't know about until this morning, where the first lady, Jill Biden, Dr. Jill, was at the game at Iowa LSU and apparently said yesterday publicly that that she thought both teams did so well that they want to invite them both to the White House, even Iowa, which lost the game. See, it's customary that the champions go to the White House. LSU, Villanova, not Villanova, UConn, got my Big East teams, my Blue Bloods mixed up. And she wanted to invite Iowa. She said she was going to suggest it to Joe Biden. Well, apparently, in the last couple of hours or so, Joe Biden said in a statement he's looking forward to hosting UConn and LSU at the White House, which apparently closes the door on Dr. Jill's suggestion. And good, because here's the thing. Jill, both teams did well. LSU won by nearly 20 points. What? I both did such a good job. Really?
They got blown out.
Iowa got blown out. They weren't even closer. Like, the entire game, they didn't get as close as 8. You know who I want to welcome to? The officials. They did such a... They tried so hard. And do... No! The best team, that's part of winning a championship. You get to go to the White House. It's part of the reward. Iowa did not deserve it because they didn't win the national championship, so they shouldn't go. Even if they got beaten at the buzzer, I'd feel this way. But if it was a buzzer-beating situation and Iowa loses and all that, maybe we could start to have the discussion. But getting blown out, they did such a nice job. Good on... I'd love to know what that conversation behind the scenes was like. Jill... You're telling on yourself as a sports fan here.
Uh-huh.
Come on. They did such a great job. They got drilled in this game. Like, you got... She's doing the John Cena face to Caitlin Clark. They got beaten down, right? That's... You can't... We're not celebrating that at the White House.
Talk about the ultimate participation award.
That's what it would be. Well, I don't know about that. They still went to the national championship game and went to the Final Four, but I don't know if...
You see what I'm saying.
I do understand. I'm just sad that the college basketball season's over. So to raise morale across the triad, and also give you a chance to win some tickets, we got Tears for Fears coming to Raleigh July the 8th. If you want to go see Tears for Fears, 336-777-1600, all you got to do is call in and tell us something good, because it's time for Weekly Positivity. How could you not be romantic about baseball? Hello, friends.
I was hoping you were going to say it, because if you didn't, I was.
A tradition unlike any other. How would you even know about that quote? You haven't seen Moneyball.
No, I was talking about the hello, friends.
Oh, I got you. I understand. If you want to watch Tears for Fears in Raleigh, 336-777-1600, we got a couple of pairs of tickets to give away. Yes, we're trying to bribe you to tell us something good. And you know, since we're listening to this music, the Masters is this week. Easter is this weekend. And we're off on Good Friday, which is good. Very exciting to watch the Masters and to also have a day off after what's been a busy month. Covering basketball and going to all these games and such.
See, I feel like Good Friday should be exclusively...
Not Good Friday.
Good.
Good Friday.
I feel like that should be exclusively a 3-hour show of us literally just talking like this.
Wow.
A weekly positivity show.
Masters updates. Whispering. If you think that's a bad idea, I will remind you, this is how they talk all the time on those Masters broadcasts.
We'd be great at it. We're ready. We're prepared for this.
Tell me something good with you.
I'm feeling very productive today.
Why?
I'm well rested. I got a great chest workout this morning.
Oh.
I went.
What's your chest workout look like?
I like to take free weights and bench those.
How big?
I like to do, you know, a range of like 40 to 50 pounds. I like to...
Wow.
The higher the weight goes, the lower the reps go.
Wow.
And then I went to Costco this morning and I got gas.
Did you get a hot dog?
No, but I did get some protein. like the powder.
Wow.
Some protein powder. And also, we may or may not be getting close to the Costco date.
Is that for real?
It's.
Did you broach the subject with somebody?
So I have a prompt on my Hinge profile.
Okay.
So I set it up for this.
What's it say?
It's something about like the perfect first date or the best first date. And it gives you, it's a multiple choice.
Costco.
Gives you three options. One's like a small coffee shop. Another is like dinner and drinks downtown somewhere. But the third option is Costco.
Why are you giving three options?
Well, because that's what it offers.
The prompt says three.
That's right.
Has somebody taken you up on it?
They have.
What did they say?
They said, I'm paraphrasing here.
Okay.
And this was about a week ago. They said,
about a week ago,
do you have a membership? Because I need some coconut water.
I'm telling you.
And she's all about it. So,
this is great.
Working out logistics here.
Wow.
But it's probably going to be happening
soon. A year in the making.
It's true.
We might actually get WD on the Costco day. Don't share her full name, but what's her first name?
I think it was Savannah.
We're off to a great start.
By the way,
your future wife.
Last thing good, my 1 year anniversary at WSJS was Saturday.
Wow. That is good.
It's been a year already. It's crazy.
Outstanding. Yeah. Outstanding stuff.
That was a lot.
Really was. And that's been Weekly Positivity.
Do you think that this is the end of those women's basketball controversies, or are we still going to see some people try to milk it?
Definitely some people try to milk it, but I think that kind of put a cork in it.
Mm-hmm. Which one was dumber? The one involving the White House or Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese?
I think the White House one was pretty dumb.
Yeah, but that's just politicians who don't really get sports, showing that they don't get sports. The Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese one's funny because it is progress that enough people care about watching a women's basketball game that you could have this type of debate that we were having about NFL games 20 years ago. Like the Terrell Owens, oh, we need somebody with better sportsmanship, better teammate. Oh, this guy's a thug, right? That type of conversation, that it's infiltrated women's basketball, I actually think is a good thing. And then when the rating dropped right when we got off the air last night of nearly 10 million people watching that championship game, that actually is a really good thing for women's basketball.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Hayes Permar now joining the show with the Eagles and Vince Gill performing at the Greensboro Coliseum tonight. We will do a specially themed Skips or Plays with Hayes momentarily featuring them. But speaking of music,
there's no way Will Dalton knows a Vince Gill song.
You never know.
There's no chance he does either. I helped him out with it earlier. So the Vince Gill song All that right. he chooses is going to be my choice. So you're right to assume that. What is the best story you can share with us, starting with music, from the Dreamville Festival, headlined by J. Cole, Drake, Lil Wayne making an appearance, Lil Uzi Vert, and Usher? What was the highlight for you over the weekend?
It's tough to say highlight. The best story I'll have to tell you off air, as that often goes, let's just say somebody that I was rolling with went a little too hard, and that's the edited part that we can give you. Maybe the coolest part was right when you're settling in. I'm not a big like festival goer guy. I've been to some of these bluegrass festivals, which are obviously like popular and cool.
One in our backyard, right?
A little less intense as far as like people squeezing in next to each other, and so it got to be kind of a scene. And like for a while, before Usher and before Drake comes out, you start like making friends with your neighbors and trying to like make sure that you're all looking out for each other and not letting other people like crowd you any more than you can, right? And on the second night, we ended up being it was my niece and I together. we ended up being mostly with some people that we were like, where's everybody from? And like throughout the weekend, you'd be like people from Ohio, New Jersey, California. Well, it was people from like Snow Hill, Bayboro. We ended up with just this like random Eastern North Carolina like block. And then we were all just kind of happy for each other. And they were like helping me out, looking out for my niece when I would dart out to go to the bathroom or bring drinks back to people or whatever it was. So it was cool to kind of in those moments when you're at a, you know, a crowd packed moment to make friends and sort of have this little community like, all right, now this is my, it happens in sports sometimes too. We like, you know, like, all right, these are the people I'm going to be stepping over or maybe spilling beer with. So let's all make friends. Even if we're not pulling for the same team, we can be like, this is a great game we're going to be at. And then, yeah, that just becomes your crew for the event. And that's always kind of a cool little thing. So that was definitely part of Dreamville. And I'm assuming those connections were made all over the place because it just, it had an awesome vibe and energy. And yeah, when, you know, I won't claim to know all these rap stars song for song and word for word, but the energy when every one of them kept coming out and the crowd was just getting, you know, more and more hype and singing all their songs, it was an unforgettable experience. Very cool.
One of these times, Permar, you and I are going to go to Merlefest, right?
Yes, we're definitely going to Merlefest at some point.
Okay. Not this year, though.
We got to get an RV. We got to do it.
I'm camping out. Did I tell you I'm camping out that on Friday night? I'm camping out.
Like in a tent?
Yeah.
Tent or RV?
We got a tent. We're camping out for the Avett brothers.
I may be a little too old for the tent life. I may be about that RV life at this point, Josh. I'm over 40. Even look, you better get in shape before you go to a festival like Dreamville. There's a lot of walking, and then like the standing, you forget how much just standing in one spot weighs on your back and legs. So yeah, I might need that RV life if I can make it through a Merlefest week.
I don't know who's going to be there next year, but let's lock it in. Hayes Permar and I, I will help in the funding and finding of this RV. We're going to go to Merlefest in an RV next year.
I'm in.
Okay. We'll make that happen. Help me out on this before we get to skips or plays with Hayes. Mike DeCourcy suggested one of these two movies. I suggested the other. Which movie should Will Dalton watch for the first time next week? He Got Game or White Men Can't Jump?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's tough, man. Those are two different genres.
Do you want to try and guess who suggested which as well?
I mean, I would guess that, of course, you said He Got Game and you went White Men Can't Jump.
It's vice versa.
He Got Game is also like...
Vice versa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got it mixed.
He Got Game features LaBelle Moton and scenes from North Carolina early on. And a bunch of college basketball players making cameos, Travis Best in them. Features the music of Aaron Copland while dudes are hooping.
Don't spoil this, Hayes. I haven't told him who Jesus Shuttlesworth is. I don't think knows. Do you know who Jesus Shuttlesworth is?
I don't. LaBelle Moton's in it?
Yeah.
How about that?
LaBelle's in it for like 2 seconds. You better be watching as the opening credits are rolling, and you probably won't recognize it's him. But now that you know that it's him, you might see... It's almost like a montage early on of like people just like hooping in their backyards
and the college scenes at Elon. Elon's the college scene where Jesus Shuttlesworth goes on the college visit. That's Elon.
Yeah, and a bunch of it's shot in North Carolina. There's a bunch of East Chapel Hill basketball players who had just won the state title that are also just playing like hometown guys shooting that. But I mean, if there can only be one, I think I gotta go. White Men Can't Jump. It He Got Game is an incredible basketball movie with some incredible actors and some incredible acting performances by basketball players. Just incredible work. But it's not in my top five movies all time, and White Men Can't Jump is. So okay. Let's go with White Men.
White Men Can't Jump is your movie for next week. Sports movies, a lot of them. Tomorrow we got that Air movie that comes out with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. That would be great.
That's true. Well played.
That'd be great if Ben McAdoo was starring in that movie. It's not like he has anything else going on. And then we've got Moneyball tonight. WD's never seen Moneyball, so he's watching that tonight. Okay.
I've never seen Moneyball either. So
great movie. Great movie. Might be the best sports movie of the last 21st century. Or not the last, but of this century.
Well, hold on. Has an Air Bud come out this century? Or were those all in the 90s?
It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things,
but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like, oh, six, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick and Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
Eagles and Vince Gill themed. I honestly don't know what else WD might have up his sleeve, but I know one of the songs are going to be by the Eagles and the other is going to be by Vince Gill, and I know what Vince Gill song it is because WD doesn't know who Vince Gill is. So where are we going to begin?
Come on. Come on.
Go rest high on that mountain.
Go rest high on that mountain. The sun you were.
This is what I think of when I think of Vince Gill, even though I bet it wasn't his original song.
It might be, actually. He's the only person I associate with it. And it's the exact song I was thinking of that you were going to play, except for the fact, and here's where I'm torn, right? As a song, it's a play. Like, you play the song, it's a great song, incredible vocals. Vince Gill, you know, showing off his stuff there, right? Great song. But really, the only time I hear this song, I feel like, is when somebody dies.
Yep.
It's a song about somebody dying. Down here in the South, like, you'll get it at a funeral or, like, a remembrance or whatever.
Yep.
So now whenever I hear it, it's like one shining moment of the dead people in my life. It's just a montage of death. So, like, in that sense, I very often choose to skip this song. So I'm torn, but I'll give credit. It's about the music. It's a play. It's a good song.
Hayes Permar.
It's so true. Like, if you're in the South and you're at, like, a celebration of life or a funeral, you're probably going to hear Go Rest High on That Mountain.
You will not get to 30 without hearing Go Rest High Upon That Mountain at either a funeral or just some sort of memorial type thing.
All right.
Like a concert. Sometimes it'll be like the concert, the school concert, and then we'll be like, hey, somebody's going to sing Go Rest High Upon That Mountain in honor of the student that, like, died earlier that year. You know what I mean? You never know exactly what context, but it's definitely something dying going on when that song's going down.
I'm intrigued by what Eagles song WD chose.
Hotel California.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place.
I don't know if Permar has a positive view of the Eagles or a Big Lebowski-like view of the Eagles.
Nah, I've got a soft spot for the Eagles. I'm not even sure why. Like, they weren't pushed on me as a kid. They weren't, like, one that my parents loved. Maybe it was because they were just ubiquitous. I think the Eagles' Greatest Hits was one of, like, the greatest-selling albums when albums still mattered. It was, like, Tapestry by Carole King, you know, Michael Jackson, Thriller, and I feel like Eagles' Greatest Hits, you know, by, like, 1990 was one of the greatest-selling albums, so it's kind of everywhere. But this is a good song. I don't know where's the internet discourse? Where are, like, the millennials on Eagles, Josh Graham? Like, have they fallen into, like, Rick Riley category of, like, the kind of scoffed at as cheesy?
No. I don't think so. I think they're kind of revered. See, the thing...
All right.
I think people look at the Eagles and think that's one of the historic bands that you need to show some reverence for. Like, young people generally don't have reverence for things, but I've always had reverence for the Eagles.
I also have a soft spot. I do have a soft spot for the Eagles because they basically formed... I forget exactly which guys, Joe Walsh and one of the other dudes.
Glenn Frey.
Were like, they were part of Linda Ronstadt's band.
Oh.
And that's how, like a couple of them got together. That origin story part to them makes me like them. So.
There you go. So we got two plays out of this.
Hey, Spermar.
And I... don't know what the third song's going to be. It's not Vince Gill or the Eagles, I've been told. What do you got, WD?
Just let the music breathe.
Oh, come on. It's not a good song. I'm sorry. We love March Madness. I love March college basketball more than any sport. You could put any song at the end. You could put Rest High on That Mountain at the end, and I'd love it the same way I love One Shining Moment. It's not the song.
All right, I got to disagree with you on the last one. You could not put Go Rest High in there, but I hear your point.
Right.
But it does It does open with a horn riff. I think that's important. I think there's something about opening with a horn riff. The doom, doom, doom. Or maybe that's not even horns. I guess, I don't know. Yeah, it's a play, right? It's like a Christmas carol. They don't have to be good. They're nostalgic. When they come around, it's their time of year. It's good to play. So One Shining Moment is a play. Remember when they tried to push the Jennifer Hudson one on us?
Oh, that was bad.
No.
We're going back to Luther.
That's how you knew that it wasn't about the song at all, right? Like, it was just about the moment that everyone remembers with the original song. Like, it didn't matter how much better you could make it or if you got a better artist or not. It has to be the one that everybody thinks about hearing at that moment.
Hey, Spermar.
That's a point I haven't even considered, but it's such a good one. You know it's not a great song when Jennifer freaking Hudson performs it and people don't like the Jennifer Hudson version because, again, it's not about how good the song is. It's about the nostalgia of the event and what's attached to. That's the point. That's as good of an argument as I've ever heard for, hey, One Shining Moment's not actually a good song.
Like, you know the song, It's the Most Wonderful Time.
Correct.
Like, terrible song.
What?
Terrible song, right?
Bad song.
But when you hear that opening, you're like, oh, and it's Christmas. But, like, it's not a good song, but it's a great moment.
I think it's a good song.
Yeah. You're not listening to that in 2000. You're not listening to that in March.
Watch me.
April.
And also, to the same point, your favorite artist could do It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year and do an awesome version with a rocking guitar solo, and you'd be like, nah, give me the cheesy old version that I love.
And to be clear, like, Dez is tweeting in here. One Shining Moment is a national treasure, the big Luther version, not the Jennifer Hudson version. Josh, you've lost your mind. I'm not saying the song is not, like, you know, its own institution at this point. I understand that it is, but let's not say that it's a great song when, again, Jennifer Hudson, with all due respect to Luther Vandross, a lot better of a musician and singer. And she performs a version and everybody hates it because, again, it's not Luther. And it's, again, like, not because Luther's this unbelievable singer. It's because the song. It's
Some people might want to have that argument with you, too, about this. So there's some big Luther Vandross fans. I'm about to send you a Bomani clip of him explaining the love that Luther fans have for him. So I'm not, just for the record, for people listening, that's Josh Graham saying that Luther Vandross can't hold a handle to Jessica Hudson, not Hayes Fermar. And finally, I got one more assignment for Will, but it's only like 8 minutes long. But whenever we talk about the Eagles, I have to bring up one of my all-time favorite Saturday Night Live skits. And I believe I have this right, it was the first ever SNL digital short. Like, not the first thing that was pre-produced, but they never called them digital shorts before, where basically it wasn't live. It was a thing. It was a skit. And it's Ben Stiller, Jimmy Fallon, and Will Ferrell is playing Glenn Fry. And it's The Heat Is On. Horatio Sands is in there. Go watch it. An iconic Saturday Night Live skit written by Adam McKay. So go check that out.
There it is. Thanks, Hayes.
The heat is on.
You take care.
Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
There he goes, Hayes Permore. Skips or plays with Hayes.